The Volume.
This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire, for Wednesday, March 13th. Oh boy, you're going to love today's podcast. If you like March Madness, if you love Championship Week, today's guest is for you. Fran Fraschilla, the great longtime announcer, analyst. He does draft stuff. Called a lot of Big 12 games, Big 12 stacked this year. You're just going to love it. 30, 40 minutes of just great, intense college hoop stuff. Hopefully win you a bracket pool or two. You guys know I've been on a bit of a heater. 1-0 Monday night, 2-0 Tuesday night, including a 14 parlay. I'm not making this stuff up. It's been an amazing run. Now listen, you need two of those four games where it came down to the wire, but it's just been a really good college basketball run. Moneyline parlay bets are the way to go. I'm looking less at spread, although when the tournament comes, you know, you won't have many options. So college hoops today, I'll just say this. I touched on it yesterday on social. It's not for the faint of heart, but there is a gambling strategy that has largely worked the last, I don't know, 5-6 years. So during championship week, for instance, on Tuesday, a lot of like the middling or major conferences started their tournaments, and they'll have the lower seeds playing. The other teams get a bye. For instance, let me quickly look at the scoreboard here. In the ACC first round, you had Boston College beat Miami, right? You had in the A-10, you had St. Louis beat Rhode Island. So today, the conference tournaments pick up. There's games pretty much round the clock. The strategy that I'll be betting, and I'm not saying go heavy because there's a lot of the games, you take the team that played on Tuesday first half, right? Just the first half to cover. So based on that example just now, you would look in the ACC and see, okay, who played yesterday? I just revealed it, but damn it, this computer's working slow. Hey, it's early morning. Things are happening. Okay, so NC State played yesterday. They are against Syracuse in the afternoon. I will take NC State in the first half. You're probably going to see them favored, even though Syracuse is a small favorite for the game. The theory, NC State's more familiar with the arena. They played a game yesterday. Syracuse has been off for a few days. And NC State's got a lot to prove. Syracuse, also a bubble team, and the theory goes, you want the team that just played. Now, you only want the first half. You don't want full game. Now, by Thursday, Friday, you're looking at like 15, 20 bets, and it does get pricey. So I would only go quarter unit, third unit, and let's hope for the best. So I will be rocking that. Now, before we get to Fran Fraschilla, a couple notes on the NFL, and free agency has gone kind of off the rails, but I just want to jump on two things. So Lamar Jackson adds Derrick Henry to the backfield. And at like a bargain basement, Saquon Barkley got $26 million guaranteed. Derrick Henry got $9 million. Now, I know Henry's got more tread on his tires. I know Henry is older, but Barkley got way bigger injury history. I would say that the Baltimore Ravens offensive line is vastly superior to what the Titans had last year. Obviously, Barkley has a much better offensive line as well. I just don't see how many more teams weren't in on Derrick Henry. $9 million guaranteed feels like a massive bargain. Now, we'll see how he performs because he is getting up there in age, but I kind of like that move for Baltimore. I thought that was one of the better moves in free. Now, you're going to say Derrick Henry, Jay, it's a big name. Settle down. You're just jumping in on the big name. Well, I'll tell you a big name deal that I don't love for one of the teams. Deontay Johnson got shipped from Pittsburgh to Carolina. I like it for Pittsburgh because this guy's a headache. You saw late in the season, he was totally dogging it, wasn't really blocking. Him and Tomlin had some beef. Johnson's a bit of a hothead and a punk, and he had wore out his welcome in Pittsburgh. So now you're going to ship him to Carolina so he's with Bryce Young? Bryce Young had like the worst receivers in the league, and now, oh, we add a guy who can get open in Deontay Johnson. But he's a massive headache. Nothing lining up great for Carolina and Bryce Young. They are getting more draft picks, though. Whoop. Let's see what they do with those. I'll wrap up with this. I'm not touching the Jets quarterback potentially being a vice president contender for conspiracy theorist RFK. I will just say this, and we'll get to Fran Fraschilla, who you guys want to hear about. Here's a quote from Aaron Rodgers, a month ago. The bullshit that has nothing to do with winning needs to get out of the building. That was the Jets quarterback, probably a month ago, regarding non-football stuff. And now, said quarterback is a VP contender for RFK Jr. I'll leave it at that, and let's get to our great guest, Fran Fraschilla. The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. How about JMU making the conference championship game? How about Gonzaga, which always advances out west? Moneyline parlay. I'll take a look. I'm not giving out betting advice, but I will take a look. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code STRAIGHTFIRE. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code STRAIGHTFIRE. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 8778-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
You know a guy. Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome back to Straight Fire, as we do every March, one of the best in the business, Fran Fraschilla. He does college basketball announcing, analysm. Analysm, is that even a word? He's an analyst. He does NBA draft stuff. He's one of the greats out there. Fran, how are you, man?
Jason, always a pleasure. Love talking to you this time of year. Let's go.
Yeah, so much excitement happening. You are at the Big 12 tournament. Big 12, I think, far and away the best conference in the country. But there is drama at the top with Kansas.
Yeah.
Why don't we just start with the Jayhawks, who were rolling, and now they're kind of in limbo.
Well, they're reeling for sure. And I'll tell you, like, this is the last time you ever see Bill Self without depth. 21 years, he's had an amazing run, obviously Hall of Fame coach. They came into the season with some freshmen that didn't show up. They kicked off Ontario Morris, who transferred from Texas because he had another criminal incident. They didn't have any depth anyway, and yet they've got wins over number one, number two, and number four in this week's AP poll. But injuries to McCuller, who's had a knee injury since mid-January, and then in a game I did Saturday at Houston, the coronation of Houston as the Big 12 regular season champs, Hunter Dickinson separated his shoulder. If it were me and I was Bill Self, I absolutely would not play them in the Big 12 tournament. Nothing to play for. They need to worry about next week, March Madness. There'll be a 3 seed. Pretty sure that's locked in. They got to get healthy. You'll never see this happen again in Kansas. Bill will not be caught short like this.
Yeah, it's a tough spot for them. The beatdown at against Houston, like, I didn't see that coming. Did you? Yeah. I mean,
kind of, you know, because I knew that McCuller was iffy. And what I didn't see coming was, and I've seen this all year, Jason, I've seen Houston 9 times in person. Okay. Wow. Probably watched 12 practices. This is as legit a culture as you'll ever find in basketball. The intensity level, the body language, the buy-in from the kids, unbelievable. I should have known better that they would have a little bit of a letdown knowing they were already Big 12 regular season champs.
Mm-hmm.
Not with Kelvin Sampson's team. They were ready to go. They were embarrassed on February 4th.
That's right.
Every time I saw them in the last month, they kept saying March 9th, March 9th. And that place was electric. Jim Nance got honored. Hakeem was there. Elvin Hayes was 5 feet from me. It was a great
Oh,
atmosphere.
wow.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson has done a magnificent job, not only resurrecting Houston basketball, but resurrecting his career. And if you think about it, this guy, the text messages, he gets the 5-year ban from the NCAA.
That's right.
He's going to the Hall of Fame, my man. He's going to the Hall of Fame. 800 wins, and he could have been an NBA head coach. He came back to Houston to fix Houston, and he has fixed it.
Yeah, they are a juggernaut right now, number one in the country in defense per KenPom. Now, obviously, there'll be questions about the offense as there were last year.
Yep.
However, it sounds like you like Jamal a lot and feel like he can just carry this team into Final Four or beyond.
Yeah, you know what? They're, I think, to your point, I think they're number 20 in offense. So it's not like they're horrible. We're not talking about the we're not talking about the Iowa Hawkeye football team here, okay? And Jamal Shedd is certainly not like the Iowa Hawkeye quarterbacks. No offense to those guys. But he is, and I've been doing the Big 12 for 20 years now, maybe 21. And I've seen Buddy Hield, I've seen Blake Griffin, KD, Frank Mason, Wiggins, Embiid, you name them. Never have I seen a leader like this kid. And he's a guy that was not heavily recruited out of Austin, Texas, in the shadows of the 40 Acres, right? Shaka Smart, Chris Beard. No, they didn't want him. Goes to Houston. Kelvin says he was a little turd as a freshman. Bad body language. What did he say? He said he was softer than puppy poop in a rainstorm.
Ooh, ouch.
And this kid has become, and we say this as a cliche, but you really can't affix this to any one player, but you can with him. He's Kelvin Sampson's brain on the basketball court. I've never seen a leader like him in 20 years. And I honestly believe that if you told Kelvin, hey, listen, take your staff to Cancun for a week, Jamal Shedd could coach that team without a doubt.
Wow.
I
Now
mean, coach
here's
it. And I'm not saying be a coach on the floor, like, great point guards. No, I'm talking about going on a road trip. And when they get off the bus, he says to the guys at the hotel, all right, guys, put your stuff in your room. We'll meet in my room in 45 minutes to watch a little tape. That's how good a leader he is. And Big 12 Player of the Year. And I believe he'll be on most first team All-American lists. And if you think about it, nobody was talking about him being first team All-American on January 1st.
No.
Nobody.
He's been on an absolute tear. The last time he struggled, well, he didn't have a great game against Cincy, but when he struggled against Kansas,
Yes.
they lost that game. Yeah. I do wonder. So the offensive questions will linger. Obviously, the loss last year in the tournament when they got bounced. So they're, per KenPom,
Yeah.
299th in free throw shooting,
Yeah.
245th in 2-point shooting,
Yeah.
131st in threes. I guess the fear is if they somehow fall behind, can they make up ground? And last year we saw they could not. But
Right.
again, the field is not overwhelming with dominant teams. It feels like it's Houston and UConn a cut above everyone else. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, UConn's been fabulous. I think Danny Hurley's 43-5 since last January, right? And
Whoa.
yeah, it's amazing. And he and Kelvin, I think, along with a couple others, are going to be right there, Coach of the Year. The thing about Houston that you have to understand from a coach's standpoint, okay, is why are they good offensively? Okay, you mentioned why they're not, but why are they good? So here's the simple answer, and it reminds me of Press Virginia. Couple years ago, when Bob Huggins had Devon Carter, I lose my
Javon Carter,
Devon Carter,
yes.
yeah, my guy. So
Yeah.
here's what they do: they turn you over at a high rate, and they crash the offensive glass. So when I last checked last week, they were getting 12 more field goal attempts than their opponents. So when you get 12 more shots on goal, so to speak, you
Yeah.
don't have to be as accurate. And their effort and energy put out by the defense and the turnovers. And then the relentlessness on the offensive glass gives them a chance to score points because they get more shots than you.
They lose Sasser and Walker, Houston did, and they're somehow better? Is that possible? I don't.
Well, and don't forget Tremont Mark, who's the leading scorer at Arkansas, averaging like 20 a game.
That's right.
And here's the
Yeah.
interesting thing about Houston, okay? In the last 5 years, this team has lost 23 starters.
Wow.
So every year, Kelvin's replacing four starters. Last year, they only had to replace the three that we just mentioned. So that's the incredible part. But to watch them practice is like breathtaking because no bad body language. He gets on everybody, doesn't matter who you are. They respond to him. They love him. He's like a grandfather who's stern with you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's a stern grandfather, and he's got a great staff. All of his staff are his family. His son Kellen, Quantas White, and Hollis Price. All they did was help Kelvin go to the Final Four in 02 at Oklahoma. Like, and his daughter Lauren is the director of operations. She's in charge of all the travel logistics. So truly a family atmosphere. And here's the last thing I'll tell you about Houston. We don't want to talk about Houston the whole time, but when I asked Kelvin Sampson 5 years ago, I said, you could have been an NBA head coach. You were
Yeah.
heading in that direction as assistant coach of the Rockets under Kevin McHale. Why did you go back to college? And he said, I needed something to fix. He's always been at places like Oklahoma, Washington State, Montana Tech, where he didn't always have the greatest resources. But when he said that to me, I was thinking he not only wanted to fix Houston, but he wanted to fix Kelvin Sampson because he was coming off the show cause order, the NCAA investigations on the texting. Now it's all legal, right? Now cheating's legal, basically. You can give a guy $1 million. Who cares?
Yeah.
So, like, I really admire the fact that he took his medicine and went back to college. And I think he's got 800 wins. He's heading to the Hall of Fame whenever he retires.
Definitely. After Houston, it seems like UConn is everybody's darling. They have been exceptional. Like you said, I didn't realize it was 45-3. That's insane. Third best in offense, 13th in defense. They did get blasted by Creighton in one of those payback games, but I mean, one loss this calendar year. Now, the one question, and I asked this last year. UConn hasn't, they're not in close games, Fran. Does that even matter though in college basketball?
I don't think so. You know, I mean, they've had some games where they've been up five with 10 to go or things like that, but I don't think so. I'd rather have a team that's kicking everybody's ass, seriously, right? Than you know, like the poor Cincinnati Bearcats are like 4-11 in games decided by 5 points or less, but seven of those losses are to top 25 teams. And so, you know, you don't get credit for being in close games if you don't win them. And no, I think Danny's got a team that could win close games. And but I what I like about Danny's team, he's got a great point guard. Tristan Newton would be on my first team All-American list, along with Shedd, Connect from Tennessee, and I think Edie, and then maybe RJ Davis. That would be my all first team. But Tristan Newton's phenomenal point guard, great leader. Klingon is healthy. Caravan is solid. Stephen Castle is a pro, probably one and done this year, from Far Rockaway, New York. Remember, his dad was a really good high school player. Now, I'm not worried about them. I think they're the best team in the country right now.
Ooh, okay, so Newton is where we get to an interesting story because
Yeah.
due to the COVID and the transfers, there's a lot of guys who are older. You know,
Yeah.
gone are the days of like the all freshman Duke team leading Duke to the title, or Hurley and Leitner making go to the Final Four every year. Tristan Newton, I just looked, he turns 23 here in about a month,
Yeah.
and that's kind of one of the storylines, Fran. You're up close seeing these teams a lot. Do we just automatically give an edge to all the teams with a massive experience?
Hell yes.
Yeah.
Hell yes. I mean, look at BYU this year. You know, I used to coach against BYU in the old Mountain West. I hated those guys, jokingly, because they're dirty, they play hard, they go on missions, they come back, they're 24, 25, they have two kids. You're playing against them, you hate them, and then after the game, they shake your hand. Coach, good game, man. You guys play so hard. I'm like, get out of here. You know, but I mean, you respect those guys, but you respect the guys that have been around a while. Like, I don't think it's fun watching a one and like Johnny Furphy at Kansas, right? And there's probably guys like this, freshmen who are going to be good pros someday. They're not ready to win big college games like these older COVID guys are, like a Cam Spencer, Tyler Kolek from Marquette, you know, Newton, Shedd. I like the fact that the COVID year gave all these guys a chance to stay in college. Hunter Dickinson's been an All-American at two. He'll be an All-American at Kansas this year, maybe second team. I like the idea that he may come back for a fifth year next year. It's good for college basketball. It
Agreed.
hurts the high school kid who's a top 75 guy, because what's happening now is colleges are saying, why do we want a high school kid who's not ready to help us win when I can go into the portal and get a mid-major guy averaging 20 a game?
That's tough. So what do you suggest to the kids who are in that spot and want to go high D1? Do you just bide your time? Do you go junior
Patience.
college?
Yeah, patience. Because, like, if you go to Villanova, for example, under Jay Wright, Houston, Gonzaga, Baylor with Scott Drew, it's proven that if you stay the course, your time will come, you know? Like your time will come. I want to give you the craziest stat I've ever heard in my life from my good friend Mike DeCourcy this morning. You ready?
Okay.
Dalton Knecht played at Northern Colorado last year. He was second team all Big Sky. Okay. He's going to be first team all American this year. How does that happen? Older guy. You know, I mean, that's the craziest stat ever. Second team all Big Sky as a Jew, as a whatever, fourth year guy. This year he's going to be first team all American.
So what is that about? He didn't get that much better in one more summer. What was he just undervalued or maybe not coached up? Now he's with Rick Barnes.
Sometimes I think you're a guy like that at the mid-major level. You got four guys guarding you. You know, you go to a place like Tennessee, they got Vescovi, they got Josiah James, they got, you know, size inside. Zakai Ziegler is a good little point guard. Maybe it's just that he got, you know, like having the shackles off instead of having four guys on him. Now all of a sudden he's more in one-on-one situations with better players, and he's able to show maybe more what he can do. I don't exactly know the answer. I just think that's a crazy, crazy stat.
Yeah. So is Tennessee a legit Final Four team?
Yes, absolutely. Because, and I work for Rick Barnes at Providence, and I love the man. They're always going to beat you over the head with their defense and their toughness. And certain years they can't score. This year they can score. They got Zakai Ziegler, tremendous little point guard. And obviously, Knecht is a difference maker. He's 20 points a game, gets 40 the other night. And you know, you got other good players like the guys I mentioned. So absolutely capable of getting to a Final Four without a doubt.
Sleeper is a relative term. Like if I said Iowa State, are they a sleeper? You know, they're 12th in KenPom, number two in the country defense. Like, is that even qualify as a sleeper? Do I have to go deep in my bag to find a real
Well,
sleeper
I
for them?
think they're a sleeper because you don't see them on TV that much. Like, how many times have people gone to Ames, Iowa, right? So, you know, we think of them as a sleeper because they're not on TV like Kansas and Duke and, you know, Carolina.
That's right.
They're really good, and the guy's a great coach. TJ Otzelberger has done an amazing job. It's a, but, and I say this with all deference to the great job he's done. Their thing lately is they're winning without being able to score. And as crazy as it sounds, like everybody says defense wins championships, and I don't believe that. I think you
I
got
don't either.
everybody is good defensively. Most people in the tournament are good defensively. You got to be able to score. You got to be able to have a Dalton Knecht. That's why I like Creighton. Get back to the older team, right? Trey Alexander, Kalkbrenner, Shireman's a 50-year guy, and they can score. And we saw what they did to UConn at home, obviously. But I watched them in the NCAA tournament last year, and I think I don't even think they're a sleeper, but they're a team that I think could get to a Final Four because they can score points.
I like them a lot. I had them, I had a lot of money on them, and that San Diego State loss still sticks in my craw. That being said, Fran, the one massive issue with Creighton is this lack of defensive pressure. I think they're dead last in the country in turnover percentage. So if they play one of these scrappy teams that picks you up full court or half court, and they're able to turn you over a little bit, and you're putting no pressure on these guys, it kind of opens the door for like an ugly rock fight, and that's where Creighton gets in trouble, no?
Well, it's possible, but let me tell you about turnover percentage, okay? My good buddy John Calipari, when he had these great teams, and maybe even now, I don't follow it as closely, but when he was at UMass and Memphis, he always was at the bottom of turnover rate for defense. And you know why? Because they didn't want to take any, they packed everything in. Like if you're Creighton, why would you want to be pressuring all over the court? First of all, they're not capable. They're not as good of athletes as maybe some other teams. But the other thing is they got a shot blocker. So you don't want to be, you know, in other words, you can be conservative knowing if they beat you off to the dribble and you're not getting turned over, like say a Houston does to you. You still got a 7-foot-1 guy there that blocks every shot at the rim. So turnover rate, Jason, just a little analytical nugget here for me because I love the analytics. Sometimes it can be an overrated stat because you're not gambling to steal it. And you're just waiting back because if they beat you, go ahead and go to the basket because I got a 7-foot guy there.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I do, I mean, listen, we could talk all we want about all these teams. If the matchup is horrible, you know, then like, you know, it's just unlucky. I am curious where you stand. We're now what, 15 minutes into chatting here, 20 minutes, and Duke and UNC haven't come up. And strangely, you know, UNC fell off the cliff last year. I guess they had some internal woes. Duke has been kind of up and down, but their biggest story this year was a court storming. What's happened with Duke and North Carolina?
Well, I think they're, you know, I think what's happened is the ACC is not the ACC that I grew up with. And so I don't think we really realize how good they are. Keep in mind, when the ACC is at its best, who else is good? Louisville,
Yeah, they're
Virginia,
terrible. Oh my
Florida
goodness.
State, Syracuse, okay,
Syracuse.
maybe in some years Pitt, right? And occasionally Steve Forbes, my buddy at Wake Forest, does a great job,
Yeah.
Brad Baranell, and there's others. But the ACC is not getting its credit because we don't think of the league as being a great league this year because of what I mentioned. I really like Carolina. When they get out of the ACC, I really like them. Why? Well, they're old. You know, Bacot's been around since I think he played with Sam Perkins, or maybe right after that.
Yeah.
But Bacot's a 50-year guy. They added some transfers that are 50-year guys. RJ Davis, first team All-American on most ballots, you'll see. Tremendous season. And they play better defense than they have. So I like them. I think, and they went into Cameron. Give them credit.
They
They've
did.
already had a great season. And then they go into Cameron and sweep Duke. I've been with Duke. I've done one of their games. I think they're dangerous too. I would say this about Duke. They're still young. And then when people get on Shire, all I think to myself is not that the same people, not the same exact people, but the same type of people. They got on Scott Drew. Scott Drew can't coach. Believe it or not, in 2010 and 11, Jay Wright can't coach. You know,
Yeah.
Shire's in his second year. He's growing, man. He's
Gotta
getting
give him
better. You can't think he's
patience.
going to be Coach K. They're having a very good season. I think they're
Yeah.
both dangerous tournament teams, both capable of getting to a Final Four.
Right, so you keep mentioning first team All-American. It's actually a logjam. I just looked at
Yeah.
some potential lists.
Yes.
So I'm assuming you got Zach Edey in there.
Edie's a lock, connects a lock, and then after that, it's flavor of the month.
Well, Shed probably, right?
I think so. We've done a good job of promoting Shedd in the Big 12. I mean, and I say that jokingly, but because he's earned every bit of it. But
Yeah, I mean,
I think because they've been number one and they've gotten so much coverage this year.
yeah.
And somebody like me who loves the game and talks about guys when they're young or when they're coming out of nowhere, I think Shedd's gotten his due. I believe he won't be on every All-American team. He'll be on most. He'll be a Wooden finalist. He'll be a Naismith finalist. So he's three. I think Tristan Newton should be four. Okay, because I
And then
think
the fifth one is tough.
yeah. And the fifth one, I think to me, I don't know how you could argue. You can argue. We can always argue about Kolick, and you'll throw a couple of names at me. McCullough's been can't
R.J.
coach.
Davis.
RJ's my fifth.
Okay, he's your fifth.
He's
Okay.
my fifth. And after that, like I think Tyler Kolick is fabulous.
Oh, I love him. Yeah.
He's been hurt. McCullough's been hurt. Dickinson hasn't been dominant. Really good, but not dominant.
Okay, so I was going to ask you. This team is kind of under the radar. Anthony Grant's done a really good job at Dayton. Daron Holmes, who is just a beast inside. I don't really know what their ceiling is, but where are you on Dayton as one of these, like, holy cow, I look up and Dayton's in the Elite Eight?
Possible. They're missing that point guard who got hurt early in the summer. Smith, I think. I think it's the brother of the former point guard, New York kid, and he got hurt before the season. Fabulous season. Anthony Grant, first of all, it's a great basketball job. A lot of people don't realize Anthony was a really good role player. I was going to say great player. Let me put it this way. In the mid-80s, Frank Martin's former teammate at Miami High, Anthony Grant was a great role player for some great Dayton Flyer teams. And now he's back after, VCU, Alabama. I love their team. Holmes is a factor, as far as both on a defensive and offensive end. They got great fan support. The league's not great, it's good. So they're not getting the due, which happens every year. But definitely one of those teams, like some of those Mountain West teams.
Yeah.
Dayton reminds me of Nevada and Boise and some of those other teams. Utah State, Danny Sprinkle, first year there. He's probably gone getting another job. I love those teams. I call them high mid-major teams.
Hi,
You know,
okay, that's
they're
fair.
high mid-major. They're better than a lot of low high major teams. They would finish like fourth in the Big 12, but that puts you in position to go to an Elite Eight.
Yeah. Certainly. Let me go back to Duke real quick. I forgot. Filipkowski,
Yeah.
the whole trip thing. Where are
Yeah.
you on that? I mean, he's had some weird controversy. I don't know. He's being called like Grayson Allen now. Nobody wants that moniker.
Yeah.
I'm just curious where you are. Like, was that incidental? Did it look a little fishy?
Well, he tripped a guy the other night, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I saw the highlight. That should have been a flagrant one easily.
Yeah.
I heard they didn't review it.
Oh, really?
I don't think they reviewed it, but I was so busy in the Big 12 the other night. But I was with Duke early in the year. Filipowski is absolutely a kid that if he's like Hunter Dickinson, if he's your guy, you love him. And the other 12 teams or whatever in the league that you can't stand him. And he's got that edge that I've seen. Like, Grayson Allen had it, Marcus Smart had it, right? You just don't like the edge unless he's on your team. And so there's an edge to him that is there. It's probably made him a good player. The court storming is a different story.
That's it.
That's a different story because I don't know if you remember the name Mike Curtis. Look him up afterwards, okay?
No.
Mike Curtis wore number 32 for the Baltimore Colts.
Oh, yeah, come on.
Ironically enough, he's a Dookie, okay?
Oh.
And ironically, he's a borderline Hall of Famer. Make sure you Google him after this, Mike Curtis. Mike Curtis is the guy when I was a kid watching a Baltimore Colt playoff game one year in the early 70s, a fan ran on the field. Like, the offense was in the huddle, defense is at the line of scrimmage, sucking wind,
Yeah.
fourth quarter. Guy comes on the field, takes the football. Well, good old Mike Curtis sees the guy pick up the football and nails him,
Wow.
lays him out. And here's the moral of the story. I'm okay with court stormings, okay, if it's controlled with security. But when you're running on the court, that's the player's court,
I
man.
agree.
And if you get the crap knocked out of you by Kyle Filipowski, tough crap. Too bad. So court storming's okay. I get it. I love Joy. I'm a Joy guy when it comes to college hoops. But you can't fault Kyle Filipowski for running into the guy or maybe even elbowing him because Mike Curtis or Marcus Smart would have leveled that guy.
Oh yeah, hell
I
yeah.
would have loved it. I would have loved it because stay off my court.
Yeah, and stay out of my face.
Yeah, stay out of, stay, it's not a place of business. So I guess with NIL, it is a place of business now. You know what I mean? But it's the court. Come on, the guys are trying to get off the court. And I don't care if Filipowski cheap shot at him or not. Don't be on the court. And if
Yeah,
you're off the
agreed.
court, deal with the consequences of getting leveled.
Yeah. Let me go to two teams that flamed out early last year, Fran, that are once again top six teams by most analytical measures, and that's Edie and Purdue and Arizona. I will admit I did a Calcutta where you and your team bid on teams, and we had Arizona, and they lose in the first round, and that's a significant loss. It sucked. Purdue, just choke city. I wonder about their guard play. Do you see either of those two being like a UVA where UVA gets bounced in the first round, and I believe the next year they won the title?
Yeah, no, I don't. I mean, I love
No.
Matt Painter is one of the giants of our profession right now. And speaking of giants, I love Zach Edey. How many guys, when's the last time a guy was two-time player of the year? I can't remember. It's
No.
been 20 years or so. But I love what Zach Edey's done. Their guards are good. Smith and Lawyer are good offensively, but I worry about their team defense. As far as athleticism on the perimeter, they got some guys that are athletic on the front line, and I love what they do, and they're capable easily of getting to a Final Four. I just worry about their athleticism, against, say, a Houston, a team like that. I saw Houston on Saturday absolutely take Hunter Dickinson out of the game. Now, Hunter's only 7'2", and
Only
the other
17.
guy's Yao Ming, okay? The other guy is Yao Ming, let's face it. But I would love to see them get to a Final Four, Purdue, because I love Matt Painter. He is the class of our profession right now. And Arizona, there's something about them I don't like. I don't know if it's Caleb Love effect, but they lose games they shouldn't lose. They're really talented. I don't think they're that talented, actually. I just think the Pac-12 and Caleb is hot and cold. He could get 30 one night, and then he could take too many shots, too many bad shots, and hurt you. And I think Arizona's kind of walking a fine line. Because he's talented enough to carry you far. But we used to say about guys like him, and again, he's borderline, he's really an all-American season. Sometimes he keeps both teams in the game.
No, definitely true. I'll never forget. That's the guy I had UCLA 2 years ago, and he went postal late in the game. Ended up with 30. I think it was a Sweet 16 or whatever, second round maybe. And then he again did it to Duke a couple rounds later in the Final Four, I think, with like 28 points. So he can get volcanic. But like you said, if he has like a 2 for 15 game, he's not going to stop shooting.
No, he's not. And that's an issue. But and I do think that's a reason they have been so up and down this year is because, it's the little girl with the curl. When she's good, she's very good, right? And it's the same way.
Yeah.
Hope I can't get in
But
trouble for that
at the same
analogy.
time, I'm sure you remember the Princeton loss last year. They just had no offense. Like, nobody could create. Nobody could do anything. And now you kind of add Love, and I think that kind of prevents you from being in one of these 50-point, 55, 53 kind of games, right?
Yeah, but I also think they've lost games. Like, you know, losing to Washington State is one thing, but losing to them twice, and they just got beat by somebody else that they shouldn't have gotten beat by. Maybe USC. I think it was USC over the weekend. That shouldn't happen to a team that we think is a Final Four caliber team. But certainly they're mercurial, and mercurial talented teams can certainly get hot at the right time. Mm-hmm.
All right, we'll wrap up with two teams. St. John's, you know the program a little bit. Rick Pitino's done a good job. They had a brutal stretch January, February. I don't know that they're a lock for the tournament. They got some work to do, but they could get hot in the Big East tournament, no?
Absolutely. I said when he was hired, obviously it's a place I coached at, Rick will have St. John's in a Sweet 16 by the end of year two, and my prophecy there is looking pretty good right now. And then, you know, he's one of the we're not really close. We should be two Italian guys from New York, both coach at Providence. Never really been close to Rick just because of circumstance. But I admire him from a distance. He's a great coach. He's one of the greatest coaches, probably top 10 college coaches of all time.
Wow.
You know, you're talking about Wooden and Knight and, you know, Krzyzewski, and certainly Rick's in that deal. He's in that pantheon. So nothing surprises me. Him yelling at his team and saying that he couldn't guard, and then all of a sudden they're on a six-game streak. That's Rick Pitino. That's classic Rick. They're very dangerous. They got to get in. They definitely have to get in now into the field. And once they get into the field, could they get to a Sweet 16? Maybe a year earlier than I thought. Yes, they have a great NIL situation there. They will get good players that want to play for Rick.
Wow. That's high praise. I'll wrap up with the team that's super dangerous, Kentucky. I don't think we've talked about them. They have, it feels like, more weapons than anybody, and they can explode, but they also don't defend, right?
Their defense for much of the season, and it's gotten better lately, was atrocious. And I would probably attribute that to just so many young players. And, you know, again, we get back to the old guys. The old guys who've been around 3, 4, 5 years, they've been in shell drill like their whole life. You know, all these little basic defensive drills you do with guys to build your defense. You know, these older teams have done that. Kentucky's guys, Dillingham, Reed Shepard's a good defender. But the overall team can really score, obviously. The length's improved with the big kid from Croatia. There's a lot to like about Kentucky. They've probably been more mercurial than Arizona in that they win a game, they're not sure they think they're going to win, and they lose an inexplicable game. And I think you chalk that up to the youth and experience. I will say this, Jason. The one thing they got going for them is Coach Cal, and he's had some flame outs, but for the most part, he's like a good jockey, like Pitino, like Izzo. There's a certain rhythm to March about how long you practice, what do you do in between the two games when you have 48 hours. There's a certain rhythm that certain guys are really good at, and John has been pretty good at the March rhythm. You know, my man Rothstein says, you know, it's January, February, Izzo, April, May, right?
Right. I've heard that. Yeah.
There's certain guys that just are good in March, and I think John is one of those guys.
Not lately, though. Again, he's had young teams. Let me ask you, though. They have their backcourt is essentially three awesome guards.
Yeah.
Dillingham, freshman, Shepherd, freshman, DJ Wagner, freshman. Now, I know Reeves.
Antonio Reeves. Don't forget that.
Reeves it has some experience.
Yeah.
But, I mean, what is he, 23 years old? Like,
yeah.
I like that, but surrounded by three, and I'm talking aggressive guys who are probably going to be pros, all thinking about wanting their shot, you know?
Yeah, but I think, you know, I wouldn't worry about that. John's been great at that. You know, hey, anybody who can bring Devin Booker off the bench and have the kid not complain about it, right? Remember, Tyler Ulis started over
That's
Devin Booker.
Right.
And I don't think Devin ever started a single game in his 1 year at Kentucky. I'm almost positive of that. And he's already a Hall of Fame. I mean, all-star. He's probably going to be a Hall of Famer. So, no, nobody's better at checking egos at the door. Don't forget, man, when they look in their bank accounts, I could never say this without getting in trouble. But now I can say it because it's legal. When those kids look at their NIL bank accounts, they're good. Because those three kids all know they're going to be in the NBA someday.
Yeah.
So
I don't
John
know.
navigates that beautifully most of the time.
You mentioned NIL. I'll ask. So there is a lot of like, oh, these guys are getting NIL money. They're getting so much. He's making $2 million. He's making $3 million.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you have an idea of what a kid? And again, I'm not looking at this pie. I'm just curious.
It's legal.
Like DJ Wagner had a huge name.
Yeah.
Shepherd didn't have as big of a name. Dillingham looks like he's probably the best of the three. But I am just curious. Like, I don't know. What do you think they make for the year being a freshman? Like, are they $500,000?
I'm reading this book right now, Rex Chapman. It's a great book about Rex's addictions. And, you know, Rex was a great player at Kentucky, NBA. And it's a great read, Seth Davis and Rex. And Rex talks about how much he made at Kentucky 40 years ago. I mean, we all knew it was, you know, my wife went to SMU. So at SMU, NIL means now it's legal. Okay. See? So here's my point. I don't know what all these guys are getting. It's like a Wild West out there.
Yeah.
I know like certain NIL programs are better than others, but the reality is most of these kids in the power conferences now are getting paid legally. I think the people that are most upset about NIL are the teams that were cheating before. Because now, I know Rick Barnes. I know Coach Barnes. He's never cheated at Tennessee, Texas, or Clemson. I promise you. But Tennessee now has an incredible NIL program because of football. So now Rick is right there with the guys that were cheating all along. And that's why Tennessee is continuing to recruit. So it's legal now. God bless the kids. They deserve it. I have no idea what these guys are getting on an individual basis.
It's interesting because like Dalton Connect probably got to go Big Sky to Tennessee. We'll just use round number. Let's say he got $500,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. If that's crazy, we can go to 100. Whatever.
I would say he didn't get 500, but he could have renegotiated on January 1st.
Yeah. Yes. So fine. Let's say he got 250 to go Big Sky to Tennessee. Yeah. I guarantee you that pales into what Shepherd and Wagner and Dillingham got. Right?
Without a doubt. Well, listen, Rex Chapman talked about a couple $100,000 in the '80s. And that's when it was illegal, but we all knew it was going on.
Yeah.
And now it's illegal. And you're talking about a $7 million quarterback here or, you know, $1 million for this guy. And everybody I talk to in the coaching profession are asking each other, what do you think he's getting? What do you think he's getting? How much do you think they're doing over here?
So nobody really knows.
Nobody. That's the thing. Nobody really has a handle on it, which is the problem. Because
then you just inflate it in the press and everybody thinks you're getting this. And then, boom, you're getting more than whatever you think.
Or and then you're unhappy.
Yeah. Then you want to transfer.
Yeah. And that's you know, we're in the Wild West right now. I don't think we're putting a genie back in the bottle. I think we'll have pro sports here. Like I think the SEC, the Big Ten are going to be semi-pro. I think if the NFL were smart, they would just buy up those two conferences and make them a minor league and let everybody else play NCAA sports. Because, you know, what we have right now is it's Alabama, Georgia, you know, Michigan, Ohio State. Come on, that's semi-pro football.
Yeah, no, you're right.
You know,
real quick, just to wrap up, since you brought up Rex Chapman, I forgot. I was too young to know how good of a high school player. I'm assuming he was a massive superstar. I just read Kentucky Gatorade Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Everybody wanted. He was like the real deal, huh?
The real deal, because he was also, you know, like we always stereotype. Like I remember doing an NBA combine once with Mark Jones. We were there together. And like Pat Connaughton won. He was now in the NBA. Mm. He won the he was the highest vertical leap. You know, a white guy, right?
Yeah.
So I always like to go reverse. I always say like, you know, like, hey, this white kid, I say, man, he's so athletic, right? And whereas the African-American kid, you go, man, this kid is so cerebral, you know? Yeah. And like, so like, but Rex was truly, I'll probably get in trouble for this, but not really. He was a black kid in a white guy's body. I mean, he was athletic. He was skilled. He had swag.
Yeah.
He was kind of like the guy that we watched growing up, and that's what made him so good was he could go. And he talks about that in the book in his little town, Owensboro, Kentucky. When you went to the other side of the tracks, that's where he got his game. See, and
I got to check out this book. Yeah.
It's a good read. It's a quick read. It's more dark because of Rex's problems with addictions and, you know, gambling. And but anyway, yeah, Rex was the real deal in the pre-internet age. He was way ahead of his time. He was before Slam. He was before Twitter. Rex was, you know, remember Sebastian Telfair?
Yeah.
I mean, Sebastian was from New York, but Rex was 5 times bigger than Sebastian. You know, I mean, Rex, he was like a rock star. Anyway.
I love these stories. I love the turn back. College hoops, you know, Fran, it's weird. I love so much. I love college basketball as much as I love the NBA in the 80s when I was learning about it. You know, Patrick Ewing was the first guy I saw. And then it was like 90s. I loved those Duke teams, Fab Five.
Yep.
So I'm like a massive junkie for college hoops. And I know you announce it and you're plugged in. And it's there's so much out there now with sports. And, you know, I got kids and the video games and, you know, streaming and all this stuff. It's just tough for me to consume as much as I used to. But man, when the tournament arrives, you know, I just feel like it's the best thing on the calendar this year. Better than the Olympics, better than the Super Bowl, March Madness, nothing could touch it.
It's awesome. For those of us in basketball, we think it's March Madness. Others say the college football playoff, you know, Super Bowl. Hey, that's what we love
No
about
way.
sports. It's kind of a, you know, it's a, you know, rite of passage, right? February now is the Super Bowl. March is March Madness. Masters after that, you know, then we'll be going and talking about football training camps, baseball. March Madness to me, it's been part of my life for 40 years, so
Yeah, I
nothing
love
like
it.
it to me.
Good stuff, Fran. Thanks a lot. Take and enjoy the madness that is March.
Always a pleasure, Jason.
Great, great stuff from Fran Fraschilla. I'll do a quick programming note because I forgot to mention at the outset, this will be the last podcast for the week. As you know, the diehard listeners know, I am moving this week and I'm powering down. No herd, no podcast. Basically only gambling and college basketball. And I'm not going to be able to do the podcast. So we'll be back Monday. Obviously, that is Bracket Monday. That'll be off the hook. Last couple of years, we had Jason Lisk on, former Big Lead employee who is doing some gambling stuff at Team Rankings. Maybe we'll effort to get him back on Monday, or we just roll with the brackets. But either way, safe gambling this weekend, folks. You need me? I'm on the gram. I'm on Twitter. Not really on Twitter, but I'm there. Have a safe weekend.
Allstate wants to remind fans that mayhem is everywhere, like at your pregame barbecue. While you prep your meats, that grease trap you forgot to empty is prepping to smoke your porch, garage, and the car inside. And without the right home and auto insurance coverage, the cost to repair this could eat up your savings. So bundle home and auto with Allstate to save and get protected from mayhem like this. Bundled savings vary and are not available in every state. Coverage is subject to policy terms and conditions.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Hello there. I'm Ann Thompson, editor at large for IndieWire.
And I'm IndieWire's deputy film editor, Ryan Latanzio.
And we're the co-hosts of IndieWire's weekly Screen Talk podcast.
Join us each week for an in-depth discussion of the latest in film and TV industry news with special guests along the way, including filmmakers and executives.
Hear from us every Friday morning on iHeart platforms or wherever you get your podcasts as IndieWire shares what we've learned from the movie week that was.